right back to my same old song and dance, which is a review of these blasted regulations. Now, in truth, one of the reasons you're being deluged with court cases now is because you've lost some court cases concerning the legality of some of your regulations. Is that correct?
That's the case.
Now, these regulations are, by law, required to be reviewed by the Attorney General's office. Is that correct?
That's the case.
And in these instances that you've lost in the court cases, the AG's office has deemed those to be constitutional or non-constitutional?
The AG's office has reviewed them and looked for legal defects, including constitutionality, yes.
Has your agency at any time passed a regulation that was noted by the AG's office not to be constitutional? Or there could be constitutional questions?
Oh, no, we have never done that.
Well, then you're the purest agency in this state. Absolutely, bar none.
Oh, in fact, I think I'm certain of that, because at the point...
They wouldn't do that, right?
There's a dialogue in that process. I mean, at the point we send regulations over to the AG's office, if they spot something, they get back to us, and we sort out the differences. If the AG's office were to advise us that this is on its face unconstitutional and you're wasting your time, we wouldn't adopt it.
Okay, but if they said there could be questions of constitutionality, do you then turn it just away as fast as you do with the other way?
That would generate a dialogue. We would want to know what the risks were, we want to know why we talk about it.
Well, Madam Chairman, I submit I have a folder, a file folder that will submit one heck of a bunch of dialogue. And we still have some of those regulations in effect today that has been advised to be unconstitutional as far back as 1974.
For this agency?
No, but okay. That's why they say his agency is pure. And I hope you're right. I'm glad to hear that.
I think I need to confine this area. But I think in that area, I think that is the case. I don't think you'll find us in that folder.
Yeah. Senator Halford.
Doesn't that dialogue ever finish with, it's okay as long as you can get away with it, nobody sues?
That hasn't been the end of any of our discussions today.
I see the former commissioner also agreeing with the current commissioner's comments. Would you like to...
I'm not making accusations.
No.
Surely.
I'm just looking at...
Of course, that means that the AG's office is not very smart because then they get overturned.
I want to see that.
We have done pretty well for the AG's office. One of our major regulations was just upheld last month in a case called the Commonwealth case. But as an example of delay, it represented an issue which has been hanging over the commission and over all of these cases now for 10 years. Mm. Until we got the answer from the Supreme Court, we could not tell those individuals where they stood. Now we have the answer. We can work through these cases, but it has taken that long to get it through the courts.
Do you have other major ones that have court cases on the major blocks of those 271 cases?
There are some groups of those cases that do turn on issues.
The reason I mention that, we've scheduled for the review of this committee major cases that affect the state's resources, some of them in the land, the submerged land issue, the Barrier Islands case, and a few others. And I don't know if you have any particular, I might make note to the representative from the AG's office, if you have a particular case that is holding up a number of these, I would like that included in the review of those major cases affecting our resources. And that's one, I don't know what we'll be able to do with it other than to say, hey, this has been around for a long time, it affects a major thing, there needs to be special effort on it. And so we're trying to call attention to some of those cases out there that have substantial impact.
We'd be happy to review our cases.
Yeah, just if there's, we're not going to have time because we have a number of them, but if you have one or so that you'd like to include, who's the handling that in the AG's? But you know who's your contact? Tom Custer is our contact for getting these cases together. Senator?
If we are going to look at cases, I think it would be just a committee's benefit to get a response to the most recent case that will have a substantial effect on the limited entry in the fisheries, that being the Supreme Court case on the definition and the length and breadth of the subsistence preference as it applies to commercial fisheries as far as sport fisheries.
Senator Halford, that's one that we have requested. Whether they will have that review at that time, if not, I can assure you it will be before the committee.
What
yeah. Oh, I see. All right.
it's going to create, unless some corrective action is taken, it's going to create some more pressure on commercial and sport fisheries. And exactly what form that's going to take and what the board's going to do with it. And of course, the legislature may be called upon to respond too. There are too many variables, I think, right now for me to be more precise. But we know it means more pressure. It means more subsistence users, and that in turn is going to create more pressure on commercial fisheries.
Senator Burkett, been sent to
Washington. If I remember correctly, approximately 4 years ago, this committee, we're talking about legislature responding. We requested response as far as definitions then. So I hope our response comes less than 4 years. And I'm not meeting that anymore, either than anybody else.
Senator Lyson.
I'm still concerned about due process. At what point, well, first, has an applicant ever sued the Elimination Commission for not acting?
No, not that I'm aware of. I'm not aware of any such suit at this point.
So what do those people do who have applications that have been pending for long periods of time? It seems that, I don't know, I'm not being attorney, but it seems to me that they couldn't take Elimination Commission to court unless they rendered some type of decision, either yes or no. If they said no at that particular time, they could file suit. But until they reach that point, what are their options? I mean, this thing's sitting in the back burner, and nobody really wants to address it.
I would suggest, Senator, that if the cause of action were unreasonable delay by an agency, they would have a way to go into court and force the issue. There have been a series of cases affecting the Social Security Administration on that ground. But let me submit that we're not...
Would the person be reluctant to go to court, take an agency of court who they're asking to grant them a permit?
Well,
that would be sort of bad.
Which does bring me to my next point. If there is someone who's concerned about delay, or if any of your constituents are concerned about delay, I think it would be well to let us know, and we can look into the individual cases. And something could well have slipped through the cracks. And if that's the case, we will yank it and we will expedite it. We've done that. On the other hand, it's oftentimes possible to explain the delay. It's not always the fault of the commission. It may be traceable to something else. But it bears looking at on a case-by-case basis, and we're happy to do that. I would expect never to be sued for unreasonable delay. I would expect to be able to respond.
Does the ombudsman fit in this one matter?
Oh, sure.
They could.
Sure. We responded to inquiries by the ombudsman's office.
Is that without prejudice?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Senator.
Just one more question. Could you provide us with the guidelines that the hearing officer must follow when reviewing an application?
The mandatory guidelines are embodied in the regulations, the statutes, commission precedent, although it's open to a hearing officer to question commission precedent. And beyond that, I shared in the packet of material that I shared with you and with the other members of the committee, I hope you got, in response to your specific questions, there's a memo from ourselves, from the commission to the hearing officers, which points out timelines that hearing officers are supposed to observe in deciding decisions. And if they can't meet those timelines, they're supposed to be seeking extensions from us. But I believe it calls for, among other things, a decision to be written within 7 days of closing a record.
It seems to me that if, in fact, the hearing officer has the ability to go into a person's financial position relative to that really could, seems to me that you could really use that one provision there to go back. Well, let's look at the income tax people. Well, we're not happy with that. Let's look at maybe, you can keep moving in that direction at the discretion of the hearing officer. You can go back, and you can expand that as far as he chooses in a delaying tactic, probably, possibly. Or maybe he's looking for that certain smoking gun or whatever it might be. I don't know. But just saying that, getting a broad authority to do these and letting them go beyond what a reasonable person would do to wanting more evidence to substantiate any claim, that process could be really expanded on. This is not quite good enough. I think we should look at that. Well, okay, this isn't quite good enough either. Let's go a little farther into it. So really, the guidelines say you go there, but how far can you go before it becomes unreasonable? At what point?
Go ahead.
The question really comes up on a case-by-case basis. And from what I've seen, my hearing officer
But the commission will go ahead and look at the hearing officer's process, where they look, review all the files and take the hearing officer before the commission and say, we have problems here, I want you to sit down and tell us why you wanted, why you had to go in this area and into that area and over this area. You could explain why you had to go that far. Do you do that?
Oh, in the past, every case has come before the commission for review, and if there were failing performance by the hearing officer, there would be reason to question the hearing officer's competence, and the commission could get into it. The commission can still do that on its own motion if it appears as if a hearing officer has made an error. But let me say, on a case-by-case basis, from what I've seen, when a hearing officer asks questions like that and asks for more information, it's always open to the applicant to refuse to provide it. But the question is usually prompted by a question which presents itself on the record. And we have had occasions where individuals have presented to us altered documents, things that have come out of official records, but which they have cut portions out, or they have re-photographed and rewritten. There have been occasions where individuals have given us testimony, and someone has called on the phone and said, well, that's false, or someone has called on the phone to indicate that they filed a false affidavit in support of someone. Now they feel badly about it, so they want to retract their testimony. We have had claims that have come before the commission where two parallel cases, two people will be claiming ownership of the same boat or the same landings. It gets to be knotty, and what you don't want to do is at the outset constrain a hearing officer from asking questions, especially because it's an opportunity for an applicant to clear that up. The fact that he's asking the question means the door is still open for an applicant to come in and provide the missing piece of information and maybe seal down the points.
It's 3:30. There, we could go on with this, or we could ask Bruce to come back to finish up on Monday when we have the bill. It's up to you, but I don't like to go past 3:30. Now, what's your direction on it? You haven't quite finished what you want to tell us, is that correct?
At your pleasure.
What's the question of the committee now? Let's not go on for another 10 minutes, because that'll go on. Question two, what's the committee want? You want to come back to finish up on the first thing on Monday?
Yes.
Well, you're going to be here, because we're going to have your bill, so you better. One question, and then we'll have you come back briefly, and then we're going to go into the bill. Okay.
What would your response be if we added an amendment to that bill that said that the hearing officer had to rule within, by statute, the hearing officer had to rule or had to make a recommendation to the commission within 90 days of the completion of the file, and that completion being either when the applicant stops submitting information at the request of the hearing officer, or the applicant filed a statement that said, you have all the information I have, and I'm not going to submit anymore.
My initial response is a question. What would be the sanction if there were a failure or a dispute about whether or not the file were closed?
Court system.
All right, let's...
The point is, it lets him get to the court system instead of sitting there for 10 years waiting for a decision that he can get to appeal from.
Senator Helfrich, would you... I'm going to arbitrarily, capriciously cut this off.
I would hope that you two would
have discussion. We would come back early. If you have particular questions with the limited entry bill, please communicate those to staff and to Mr. Connolly so that we can look at that. I would like very much, if at all possible, to take action on that. If we cannot, so be it. But it would be my hope that we can. I think that there are some very valid reasons to move that bill.
Well, I think we should get all the questions answered before you pass.
You're going to get it. You'll have a chance.